Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, with liquidity being sucked out of the economy, businesses of all sizes are going to need to pay a lot of attention to cash flow. But how? How can businesses pay better attention when, in many instances, accounts payable and accounts receivable departments either don't have access to the same data or don't have the same insight as the other has? Well, we do live in the 21st century after all, and with this explosion of data transparency, there are modern tools to help with this cash flow insight problem. So to dive deeper into the importance around cash flow, I'm joined by BC Krishna, the founder and CEO of Centime, and Don Apgar, who is the director of the Merchant Service Advisory Practice at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on this episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So BC and Don, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on this episode of the Payments Journal Podcast here, where we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that's cash flow. And I certainly don't know any business that doesn't like to talk about cash flow here. And BC, I want to start today's conversation with you because there's this fantastic chart here that's taking a look at kind of cash flow and kind of setting some parameters for kind of the average buffer days here. So perhaps maybe we could kind of start today's conversation maybe unpacking that chart here for our audience and kind of explaining what the importance of it is here as it relates to this conversation. And for those of you who are following along on paymentjournal.com, we're going to make sure that we have this chart in the article below. So BC, if you could please kick us off and kind of give us your perspective of this chart that we're viewing here.
Yep, absolutely. First of all, let me make sure that we're providing the proper attribution. This is a chart that was pulled from a JP Morgan Chase Institute report. The backdrop is JP Morgan banks, according to this report, 600,000 or so small and mid-sized businesses. And what they did was they analyzed the cash inflows, outflows, balances, and cash flows of those 600,000 businesses and came up with this pretty amazing statistic that the median business among those 600,000 has 27 days of cash runway. In other words, if for these businesses, cash inflows were to stop, they have 27 days of cash in the bank. And once those, you can see how alarming that number can be and how disruptive it can be, how even small things can be very disruptive. It could be a single customer that pays late. It could be seasonality or, heaven forbid, a recession or a pandemic. And that's sort of how close to the edge the most businesses actually live when it comes to cash. And that's really the main point. And there's some variation that you can see in this chart in terms of the type of business. You can see that, restaurants are about 16 days and real estate companies are about 47 days. Even so, 47 days is not anything dramatically different from the 27 median days of cash that a business typically has.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I don't think a lot of folks realize just how thinly many businesses operate, and I think the pandemic brought a lot of this to light. The businesses that didn't make it didn't hang on too long. So it's really a challenge. It's interesting to see what kind of tools the businesses have available to try to give themselves a little more buffer.
Yeah, Don, I think one thing I just want to also highlight, since we're just coming off of the pandemic, more or less, is it's really remarkable to me how much survivability, was given to these businesses by the PPP program, right? You can just see now how important the PPP program was, to these businesses, therefore. But you're right. The other part of it is that, we cannot depend upon government handouts, or businesses cannot depend upon government handouts for the rest of their existence. And, one of the things that the sort of pandemic has highlighted for us and for everybody is the importance to pay attention to cash flow. Businesses often just focus on growth and profitability, which are all appropriate metrics to look at. But as they say, cash is the lifeblood of the company. And, cash flow is something that businesses need to understand, manage, and control. And that's the sort of, the lesson from both the pandemic and this chart.
And that's an excellent point. I would be willing to bet that most of the businesses, especially on the smaller end, aren't aware of this number themselves, right? People go into business because they have a passion for whatever it is that they're in business for. And, just assume that, I get paid by my customers and I buy my supplies. And I don't know a lot of business owners that have really, really sat down to do the kind of analysis that JP Morgan has done here to say, how many days cushion do I really have,
Anecdotally, I'll tell you that some people do, many people don't. I mean, and obviously the larger you are, the more mature you are, the more aware you are of this, and the more likely you are, even if you were to do it manually, to have FP&A teams and people that look at your treasury teams, that look at your cash flow and manage it. But when you move down market, as you know, Don, as you move down market, these are businesses that barely understand the concept of cash flow, that don't have the maturity to understand what it means to put together, you know, for example, a cash flow forecast, to understand the distinction, you know, between, you know, profitability and cash flow. So, I mean, I don't, you know, yeah, I don't want to sort of, you know, sound like we're teaching people that businesses understand this. They really do. But I think the idea of providing more systematic, efficient tools and best practices to make it routine is the need of the hour.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. But the question is, you know, there's a difference between, well, I understand I only have 37 days of cash flow or 17 days, whatever the number is, but understanding the problem and being able to do something about it, right? So what does the average business owner do when they come to the realization that, gosh, I don't have the kind of cash flow cushion I'd like to?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So the first thing is to just build this map, right? That tells you what exactly does my cash flow look like over the next, I mean, CFOs will talk about a 13-week cash flow forecast. It's sort of the gold standard. But once you have that 13-week cash flow forecast, that's still only a means to an end. What do you do about it? What can you do with that cash flow forecast? What if it turns out that your cash flow forecast shows that you're going to be thin on week 6, or that a certain receivable is going to be late, or that a payable is due and puts you below a low watermark that you want to be at? That really begs the question, what, you know, as you said, what do you do about it? And, you know, the thing that I'll sort of once again highlight is that actually businesses do know what to do. They just don't do it systematically enough. They don't do it often enough. They don't do it in a way that scales, and not everybody does it. There are three levers that every business has in order to be able to manage cash flow and control it. Number one is, now that you have your map in front of you, that you have your cash flow forecast in front of you, how do you pull your receivables in? How do you make sure that you can shorten your DSOs? What are the operational processes that you can follow through on to ensure that you get paid, if not faster, at least on time? You know, there's a recent DNB report that I saw that suggests that something like 50% of all businesses today get paid late. This is pathological, right? And it's no surprise that, you know, businesses, you know, will have working capital issues if they're paid late. I mean, if you're going to assume that you're going to be paid on time, you provided your customer 30 days of, you know, payment terms, and they pay on the 45th day, you know, there's a problem. So the first thing is to reduce your DSOs, shrink your DSOs. That helps you with your working capital. The flip side of it is, in some ways, you know, you have to look at your payables and decide based on the forecast that you have in front of you. You have choices to make. Who are you going to pay? When are you going to pay? How much are you going to pay? And are you going to, what kind of payment instrument are you going to use? Are you going to use cash? Are you going to use credit? The name of the game, of course, on the payable side is the opposite of what happens on the receivable side, which is to push your DPOs. Everybody knows this. You shrink your DSOs, you push your DPOs, and guess what? You know, you have more working capital, which helps you with your cash cushion, which helps you with your 27 cash buffer days. And the third thing, which, you know, and if it turns out that you're a, you know, you're a cash flow business, you're throwing off lots of free cash flow, those two levers might be sufficient to get you to where you need to be. In fact, you know, I'll just make the quick point here that Amazon is amazing, right? Because they've actually converted the cycle completely. They've inverted it, right? People talk about the cash conversion cycle, right? Which is the time between when you pay and when you receive cash. They have a negative cash conversion cycle. They receive cash before they pay, you know, their suppliers. Every business should aspire to be that way, but, you know, not everybody can be that way. So if it turns out that you cannot get to the promised land with your payables and receivables, then you have, you know, no choice but to tap into credit, which is another very, very important thing that businesses need to be able to do. I mean, everybody has long lamented the fact that small and mid-sized businesses really struggle to get access to credit. And banks often are challenged because, you know, often these are small businesses that don't necessarily have the most robust balance sheet. They're looking for cash for short periods of time because they're not looking for term loans to buy equipment and buildings. They're looking for a few $100,000 for a few months to tide over timing differences between their payables and receivables, or small advance payments that they have to make to their suppliers to take advantage of some opportunity. So anyway, long story short, Don, is those three levers are really what every business needs to do. Some know to do it, but most don't do it in a very robust fashion. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, right? I mean, it's obvious, right? Get paid sooner, pay later, and then borrow when you need to. But from a practical standpoint, you know, a small business, especially if they have a larger business as a customer, you know, how much really influence do they have to be able to accelerate receivables? I mean, can they call up their bigger customer and say, you need to pay me sooner? So out of those three, which of those would you think is most within the grasp, I guess, of the small business owner?
Well, it's a great point that you make, right? By definition, small and mid-sized businesses don't have as much leverage, you know, as larger businesses. But to the extent that you have some degree of control, you have control over your payables, right? You know, that is an area where, you know, there are certain things that you can do. You can decide to pay somebody later. You can decide to pay using some credit facility that you have. And one of the areas that I think is important for us to fully recognize is that actually many of these businesses have access to credit that's underutilized. And that credit that's underutilized comes in the form of a credit card. And, you know, today most credit card payments are T&E payments. But, you know, something like, I saw a statistic the other day that something like, you know, 30 or 40% of a credit card credit line is actually utilized. So 60% of credit that banks extend is underutilized. And so what do we need to do to help this business that wants to control payables leverage that credit more effectively? And everybody knows that, you know, making a payment on a credit card means that you get 20 to 50 days of extension, you know, when it comes to your payment cycle. How do we make that happen? I don't mean to leave this out as a rhetorical question, but that's sort of the opportunity here. But there's also, you know, work that can be done to provide credit, you know, to these businesses in a more effective fashion. Banks, I think, have to package that credit solution that they are, after all, in the business of doing in a more effective way. They should not be looking at this as a term loan, you know, that, you know, they sell at like, you know, prime plus two or prime plus three. You know, you know, the world is now awash with online lenders that lend at 36% APR. There is an opportunity that sits between those two extremes. And so both of those are opportunities, I think, for businesses to be able to, you know, leverage. And then I'll also say on the receivable side, they do have some control, and that control is limited when compared to payables, but they can run processes that are more effective, right? Why is it that you're waiting for the payment to go delinquent or late before you follow up with your customer? You know, it's well established now that, you know, nudging your customer to pay on time means reaching out to them before the due date, dropping a note saying that, hey, listen, I just want to let you know that, like, you know, 2 weeks from now, there's a payment that's going to come due. And it has been proven that those kinds of efforts actually do have the impact on their DSOs. So sorry to have, you know, gone long on you, but I think in roughly that's the order in which I would say that the control exists.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, listening to you kind of lay it out methodically like that, it really makes a lot of sense. And you know, I hadn't thought in that same way that you're looking at it, that the business owners, especially on the smaller end, do have more leverage probably than they realize. But, you know, it's to your point about, you know, if you're getting paid late, then, you know, you in turn need to throttle back your payments, right, to maintain the cash flow. So here's the question. I mean, are there any tools out there that would help a small business owner or kind of maintain that visibility? Because a lot of them just don't take the time to focus on the books the way that they need to be able to actively manage their cash flow.
There are tools out there. I mean, there are people that, you know, there are many people who provide solutions that I would say are, you know, payable solutions and receivable solutions and cash flow forecasting solutions. But as we have discussed here, these are interconnected problems. And just to make a quick point, right? I mean, the choices that you make on your payables, right? You have an AP, you know, a set of AP, you have an AP that you sort of, you know, the AP department has a bunch of payables that they want to be able to execute on, act on. The best thing to do is to understand what your cash flow looks like in order to make those decisions about who to pay, when to pay, how much to pay, and how to pay. There's not a single AP department that I know of that actually connects the two, where they use the cash flow forecast as a guide to make that choice. That's because the tools today that are in the marketplace today have no connection between the two. Similarly, when it comes to receivables, you should be focusing on those collections that have an impact on your cash flow forecast in the short term. And so the cash flow forecast is central to providing you that map that connects all the dots. So just to make this point more clear, we feel like, you know, and this is why we exist at Santeam, to be able to pull together these pieces in a more integrated and connected fashion. With the cash flow forecast as a guide, AP, AR, and credit can be better managed to achieve your cash goals. After all, that is the most important thing for the business, right? As we've said, cash is the lifeblood of the company. When it's well managed, you thrive. When it's not, you go out of business. The three levers that we have are AP, AR, and credit. If you put those four things together, then you have a solution that makes it strategic and also operational. We're not aware of anybody that has put all those four things together into one comprehensive solution. And for the last 2.5 years, that's what we've been doing at Santeam.
That's really interesting. And I can see where bringing all those tools together into one package would be extremely valuable for the business.
I hope so. And I hope people see it the same way that we do. And I hope you see it the same way, too. But I think that we're excited about like bringing a solution like this to market and partnering with financial institutions to make it happen.
Fantastic.
Yeah, what's really interesting to me, BC, that I was kind of listening to, for me, what a lot of what you're talking about here is kind of boiling down to me to, I mean, I know this is a bit of an oversimplification, but the transparency of the business itself, particularly from that cash flow perspective here. I think when you're kind of taking a look at the AP department, the AR department as well, it's kind of a, their job is also kind of minimizing risk. And the more data or the transparency of the data that they have access to, the better decisions that they can make, which I think, you know, you and Don were particularly calling out there. One of the other points that I want to bring up is that you brought up kind of the friction or the pain points of banks trying to, you know, either onboard merchants or understand to be able to provide them with credit and also better credit utilization that they've got here. So I'm curious at your organization at Santeam, is this, you know, you're talking about some of the solutions that your product offers here. Is this something that a bank could particularly, you know, kind of brand their solution and offer it to their business partners?
That's our goal. I'll just make maybe one statement that might seem a little provocative, but I think hopefully upon reflection, everybody realizes that it's true. You know, today, banks' cash management solutions actually don't solve any cash flow problems. It's sort of a, they're called cash management, but in their ACH and positive pay and cards and so forth, but they don't provide the kinds of visibility to your point around cash flow forecasting and the ability to sort of integrate AP AR into one holistic capability. Credit is, after all, what banks do. And, you know, being able to plug credit into the mix is a central opportunity that banks have. So to answer your question more specifically, that's what we believe is the opportunity for financial institutions to really offer a private label solution, a Krobe brand private label solution that Santeam offers in partnership with the bank to their customers so that they can become central to the cash flow lifecycle of their customers. And after all, what is more strategic than that, right? I mean, customers have a trust relationship with the bank. And if the bank is able to ensure that their products and advisory capabilities are put to use to enable the business to thrive, then everybody wins.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to agree.
No, I certainly agree as well, too. I mean, I think, BC, what you said there, I don't think is necessarily provocative. I think that that's absolutely a valid point there. I kind of boil it down to is that, yes, having the data is certainly very critically important, but having the insights and kind of, here, what are the next steps or the areas that I should be focusing on is certainly a critical component to it. Because as we know, you know, data is certainly very abundant, but it's kind of the action items or the insights of how it is that you should utilize this data is really where a lot of businesses are kind of taking a look and saying, well, okay, that's where that next step of value really is coming from. But if we can, before we wrap things up here, I want to tie everything together. So when a CFO is looking at a cash flow management system here, what are the main objectives that they should really be focusing in on?
Well, there's two things. It's a great question, Ryan. There's forward-looking things and backward-looking things, and they're both really important. When it comes to forward-looking things, obviously we've discussed some component of it, which is, what is my forecast? It's pretty basic. How much cash do I have today, which is an aggregation of all of my balances across all of my financial institutions that I do business with, right? It is rarely the case that a business has exactly one FI relationship, right? They might have a credit card, they might have a credit line, they might have a loan, they might have a bank account or two, and then your cash position is really sort of, you know, spread out across all of them. So number one is, how much cash do I have? Number two, how long is it going to last, or what is the projection, what is the forecast for my cash over some period of time? And that time period is typically, you know, 6 to 13 weeks. It's an operational window over which I'm making the decisions that we've talked about thus far. So that's kind of number one. And I don't want to belabor the point about then what you do with it, of course, is to act on AP, AR, and credit so that you can then achieve your objectives. I've done, you know, a few different venture-backed startups, and I can tell you that every 4 to 6 weeks, I've been in front of the board presenting a cash flow forecast. And every one of those, you know, board meetings that I've been in for the last several years, that cash flow forecast has been, you know, pulled together in a extremely manual fashion, very painfully, with, you know, some Excel spreadsheet, which has some magic formula behind it, you know, which nobody understands except for the last CFO that put it together, and he even doesn't understand it. So just being able to do that in a scalable fashion is really, really, really important. Now, looking back though, you also want to be looking at your performance, right? It's not just sufficient to say, this is my forecast, this is what I need to do with my payables and receivables and credit. You know, payables and receivables have metrics associated with them, they have KPIs. I mean, there's sort of basic things, right? Such as DSOs, right? Which is days sales outstanding. How quickly do you get paid? Or DPOs, days payables, how slowly do you pay? You know, what is your collections efficiency? What is your payables efficiency? How many payments are you making on a credit card? You know, things like that. Those metrics help you measure your performance, your cash flow performance. And so both the forward-looking cash forecast as well as the backward-looking KPIs are critically important in our view for a CFO to look at. But like I said, just those reports and metrics are only a means to an end. Ultimately, they have to translate into operational processes with AP, AR, and the ability to tap into credit so that you can thrive.
So, BC, why do you think banks have been so slow to bring this kind of service to their business customers? Because obviously they want the business to succeed, but yet at the same time, they're so hesitant to lend them any money. I mean, it seems like this kind of a thing would be a huge win for a bank that banked any number of small businesses, don't you think?
Well, I hope so too. I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, the answer is right in front of you and you don't really see it, because the pieces need to be put together. And, you know, I ran an accounts payable automation company for 8 years, and, you know, the pieces were right there in front of me too, but we didn't realize it either. It's only when I left that company and started to look at this whole notion of AP, AR, and cash with a fresh set of eyes, they realized that these are things that are all tied together. And so, you know, obviously there are some people that are sort of looking at it this way, but I think that we have a tremendous opportunity to enable us to educate both businesses as well as financial institutions and banks that the time has come for us to look at this problem in this way, right? I mean, it's an age-old problem. We've discussed it at the top and the middle and the end of our conversation here. Cash is the lifeblood of the business. How do we make sure that we shine a light on it? How do we make sure that people understand the importance of it? And not just businesses, to your point, Don. Banks need to do it too, and not just look at it as, how do I, you know, write that term loan for Prime Plus 2? How do I provide the advisory services to my business customers to ensure that they thrive? And this is one of those tools in the quiver.
Yeah, no, that's, you're absolutely right. You know, I think it's just, it's nothing new per se, but it's just combining everything into one spot that just makes so much sense.
That's what we hope, you know, we can convey to anybody that's willing to listen to us.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it on that positive note there. So, BC, Don, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about cash flow, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you so much.